Daily Tradition List on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Monday, the 6th of November, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I have to apologise once more because Matthew Heimbach is still ill. He's been ill since Halloween last week. I believe it's the sickest he's ever been. And he's still unable to co-host the show. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow, but I am very pleased to say that we've got a special guest today. Someone who's been an advocate for her husband for, I believe, 33 years now. The poor guy has been in prison. And it's somebody that a lot of our new nationalists probably unaware of him and unaware of what went on in white nationalism 1.0, I guess it is. But it's someone whose name everyone should be aware of. And that's Gary Yarber. And I'm very pleased to welcome his wife, Mrs. Susan Hillman, to the show today. Susan, how are you doing today?
I am doing all right. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. I've heard your story before, but it was a couple of years back. I think that was with Rodney Martin on his radio station, but I haven't really heard much from you since then. And you popped up in my Twitter feed and just reminded me of this case. And we had Free Gary Yarber demonstrations a couple of years back. There was a demonstration every year, especially in London outside the American Embassy. And we haven't had one of them for a while either. So I'd like to find out what's happening now and also what happened to Gary and how he ended up in prison in the first place, because he was quite a famous person like a good few years back, but it seems that people seem to be sort of unaware of him now. So if you could give our listeners a bit of background to the case and what's been going on.
Yes, and thank you for having me on today. But Gary was a member of the now disbanded order. He went to prison in 1984. The order was Bob Matthews, Gary Yarbrough, Richard Scutari, David Tate, David Lane, Richard Kemp, Randy Evans, and those are the more well-known names. They formed this group and took a vow to fight for our folk and to sort of secure us a homeland. They were wanting to buy property in Middle Lane Falls where Bob Matthews lived and make it a community outside of government control. The town had it had just been abandoned. It had a cement factory, a police station, school, and they were going to set up this town, you know, just for, you know, white people, and it would be outside of government control. Well, the problem with this was they needed funding. And also at this time during the 80s, a lot of the banks were repossessing farms that had been in white families for generations. And many of the white organizations were struggling financially also. So Gary was one of the original members of Aryan Nations. He helped Pastor Butler get it off the ground. But when he met Bob Matthews and all them through Pastor Miles and Pastor Butler, they formed the order. And, well, they came across the problem of money, so I guess they decided to play little Robin Hood. They did some armored car robberies and to fund all this. And essentially, you know, in man's law, this was against law, but in nature's law, they were just taking back what had been stolen from our people via the banks and the government. Now, saying this, Gary no longer, you know, he encourages anybody not to do any kind of illegal activity. But they did all these armored car robberies and counterfeiting to try and fund everything. They gave the money to farmers, to white organizations, and were saving up to buy this town, which they never did. They never got to that point. Gary was the first one arrested in Oregon in 1984 when the feds came after Bob Matthews. Bob got away, but later on the feds killed him in Whibley Island at his home there. They burned him they burned him to death, and the rest were apprehended later. And they have been all mistreated in prison. A very few have gotten out. David Lane died in prison. Richard Pierce died in prison. Kemp and Randy Evans were let out and have sort of fell off the grid. But Gary and the rest have been put in very horrible conditions. Gary's in Florence ADX right now, which is the Supermax of Supermaxes. It's underground and has the utmost security, and it's hell on earth. So
yeah, it sounds right. I'm just wondering, the ones that were let out, did they turn evidence against the rest of them, or did they keep their mouths shut? I'm just wondering why they were allowed out and the rest weren't.
They were allowed out because they joined the order later on, and their charges weren't as bad as Gary's and Scutari's and David Tate's. So they got out a little bit earlier because they joined the order later on towards the end, where, you know, they didn't have Gary's main charges, because he was found innocent of Allenburg. He was in Idaho when Allenburg was killed. And really, essentially, the court really didn't prove ever who killed Allenburg. All they got David Lane and Pierce for was the violation of Allenburg's civil rights. But Gary's charges are RICO, which is his main charge, which was originally set up for mafia. Now the federal government uses RICO against our people. It's no longer really used for the mafia. But Gary's main charges are RICO, counterfeiting, and armored car robberies. Now, he's been in prison 33, 34 years, and I have known actual people who have killed people, you know, that haven't even done that type of time. You know, that's a whole lifetime just for RICO, counterfeiting, and armored car robberies.
That's the sort of sentence you'd expect to receive for murder. Not for robbery. So he hasn't even been charged with actually doing a violence to anyone's person. He's just been charged with robbing and counterfeiting, basically.
Yeah, even with the armored car robberies, nobody was hurt. Nobody ever was hurt in anything that they ever did. So basically, they're holding Gary and Scutari and the others that are still in on their political beliefs. That's it, because they are essentially, they know these men are looked up to, and they're worried that they'll let them out and they'll come out here and help organize. You know, and that's not it. These men have made their sacrifice, already done their time. Just like the others that have been let out, they'll disappear. And, yeah, and but the government and the FBI and all these other federal organizations are worried about him. And there's no reason to be worried. Like Gary's health is so bad. I got a letter campaign going on right now to try and get him to a medical facility. He has, rheumatoid arthritis, which they let go for 10 years without treatment. And it's affected his organs, including his brain. Rheumatoid arthritis just don't affect your joints. It affects your organs. He's going blind from cataracts, which only takes a simple surgery, but yet they won't take him for it. When I went to go see him here about 2 weeks ago now, he couldn't even see me. That's how blind he is. And he has COPD, and he has, it's called hemo something or another, where his body, it's a genetic disease, where his body produces too much iron, and the levels get so high that it could kill him. They're supposed to take him out every other week for bloodletting, and they maybe take him once every 4 months. And his his iron levels get to a very dangerous level, because too much iron in your body can kill you. And now he has the sleep apnea, which his sleep study came back, and he's stopping breathing more than 30 times an hour at night. And he can't have a CPAP machine in Florence ADX because it is Supermax. So, you know, he don't need to be in a regular prison. He needs to be in a medical facility. And that's what I'm trying for. I got a letter campaign, which you can find on his website. And I need as many people who can to help write. I have the addresses, a sample letter, everything there for people to do it with. All you got to do is print it out and throw it in the mail.
And so people could just send that off, and hopefully just the weight of the letters will ensure that they take him to a medical facility. I'm really shocked to think that people in prison are just left to rot, basically. They get no medical help whatsoever. I mean, look what happened to Edgar J. Steele. I mean, they're doing the same thing here, aren't they? We haven't said about what happened at his parole hearing, because he was due for parole a couple of years back, and he was expecting to get it. So do you want to tell the listeners what happened there? Because I mean, that I'm just speechless at what happened there.
Yes, he was due to be paroled in 2014. Well, roll around 2009, 2010. You know, Gary, a lot of people, you know, talk about Gary and the other brooders, and they took the parole commission and the BOP took posts off of websites, off Tom Metzger's website, off Stormfront, and off the freetheorder.org, which since changed its name. But they took web posts that Gary, now you have to remember, Gary has no internet access at all. He's in a supermax, and he's only allowed 2 phone calls a month, which both go to me. Yet they held Gary accountable and took away his parole date because of these internet posts, which none of them, even I didn't even make any of them, which no matter what I say, anybody shouldn't be held accountable for what other people say on the internet. But they did. They held him accountable, took his parole date, and made it 2024. Which he's got 5 years now until he maxes out. So, you know, but yeah, they actually did that. They reversed his parole and called it association.
When you think about it, I mean, so many people impersonate other people online. You know, people claim to be Kim Jong-un or all sorts of different people now. I mean, it's very common. I mean, people follow fake Twitter feeds that are supposedly by certain personalities. So the fact that he's in prison, there's no possible way he could have made any of these posts on Stormfront, and yet they're using that to deny him parole. I mean, surely that's got to be against the law. But what do you do when it's the government itself that is breaking these laws and doing this? You must feel really helpless.
It is, because there's really nothing you can do. I did a fundraiser and raised enough money to hire a probation attorney that deals just with federal alone. So these people were really supposed to know how to maneuver the federal prison system. Well, I did a fundraiser, got the money together, hired him an attorney. His 2016 parole hearing is on his website, and you can go and listen to what a joke these things are. Well, anyway, it was a waste of money, because this parole attorney didn't even object, and they were bringing up stuff like Nazi Germany. And Gary had nothing to do with the war. I mean, you know, I mean, the parole board just brings up stuff that, you know, don't even pertain to Gary. And if I remember correctly, at one parole hearing, they thought Bob Matthews was still alive and in prison. These people know nothing. But you can go on his website and listen to the parole hearings. Now, the only way to fight them legally is through a civil dispute. And I'm trying to find somebody to take that on. But these people, the government has a way of scaring off attorneys. There's been a few that I've, you know, communicated with. And as soon as they show interest, the feds come in and raid their office and look for anything to use against them, you know, because they don't want these men getting out. But the only way to really fight the federal system is through a civil suit, which I am in the process of trying to find somebody now to take. You would think, regardless of what race or creed an attorney is, if one was to successfully beat this for Gary, they would become a well-known attorney and get lots of cases. But yet these attorneys are scared of what the government's going to do to them for taking on these cases. But still, that don't mean that I quit trying. You know, that's why I keep the website updated. So if I do find an attorney, all Gary's information is right there about his health and about how they messed over his parole. You know, it's all right there.
And the sentence itself is due to be up in what, 5 years? I mean, how long was the sentence then that they actually gave him?
The actual sentence that they gave him at the end, once he was found innocent of Allenberg and all that, was 60 years. 60 years.
So
for RICO.
60 and, years. 60
yes,
years.
60 years.
So, and how much of that will he have served in 5 years then? 40 years?
Well, they do the good time also. So he's been in 33, 34 years. So about 40 years. He does. They do the majority. I think they do 60% of their time in federal. So in 5 years, he maxes out. That's for sure. But he's got another parole hearing coming up in a year. And with his health the way it is, we're going to try for a compassionate release, because if they are legally responsible for his health care, and we have got proof beyond proof that they have neglected him, you know.
And well, they surely have. So, I mean, a cataract surgery is pretty routine operation. I mean, that they do them all the time, and just to get a machine in there that for his sleep apnea, just to give him a bloodletting once a week or whatever it is, instead of once every 4 months, saying that all the iron must be building up in his blood, so his blood itself is toxic. His body is toxic. I mean, you know, he must have some real strength to be fighting against this and not letting it get him, basically. I mean, he's going to have real strength to keep going through, because it seems to me the only way to really beat this is to literally power his way through to the end of the sentence and try to keep himself fit.
That's it. And that's what he has done. I have often told people, you know, just for when I go up there, I go up to Colorado about once a year to see him. And just from dealing with them that week, you know, they make me want to go off the deep end. So I couldn't imagine, you know, it's like this last visit that I went to see him, you know, we visit behind glass with the phones. Well, you know, he, with his eyesight, they have to call out on the phones a certain way, and he couldn't read the directions. You know, it's not like he gets visits every week where he remembers what to do. And he couldn't see the directions on how to call out. So I went and got one of the officers and I said, look, he's having issues because of his eyes. They made me move away from the window. Not like I could pass him anything through the window or even talk to him, because it's, you know, shatterproof that, you know, that special kind of plastic that's shatterproof, and he really couldn't hear me anyway. But he was looking down at the phone while I walked away. So when he looked up and seen me not there, he knocked on the window. And I popped back around there and tried to tell him the best way that I could that they wanted me away from the window while they went to go get his counselor to help him. And he shook his head okay, you know. So I go back to the chair they told me to sit in. And this officer walks out of the officer room and says, we seen you there by the window. If you do that again, we're going to terminate your visit. And I'm like, look, y'all didn't tell him where I was going. He was looking down at the phone when I walked away. He didn't know where I went. That's all I did, was tell him that I had to step aside till this is situated.
So they treat you badly as well when you go to visit him. They're not particularly courteous to you. Did they move him away from where you were as well? Did they put him in a prison that was miles away from you, saying you can only get to visit him twice a year? Is that one of the things they did?
I can go visit him how many times. He gets so many visiting hours a month, but I live in Louisiana and he's all the way in Colorado. And Colorado is an expensive place. So I can only afford to go like once a year. This year, I'm lucky I'm going to be able to go back again for Thanksgiving. This will be the first holiday that we have spent together. But that's only because I have a friend that is making trips to Colorado and I'm riding with her. And that's the only reason I'm getting to see him twice this year. But yeah, I have written them and asked them to put him close to me where I can keep an eye on him you know, health-wise and stuff, and he can get visits, and they just keep him far away from me. Before this, it was Terre Haute, Indiana. You know, they always keep him a long ways where it's hard for me to keep an eye on him besides letters.
And yet they say about, especially about refugees and foreigners that come into Britain, oh, they've got a right to a family, human rights. They can't be separated from their family. We can't send them back to the countries that they've come from because they've got family here. Or if they're sent to prison, they've got to have the family nearby. And this apparently comes under the United Nations Human Rights Act, the right to a family. And yet they are putting him as far away from you as they can possibly get. So again, it's one law for one group of people and a completely different law for everyone else, isn't it?
Yes. You know, and it's, I often joke with Gary that, you know, maybe if he converted to being a Muslim, he'd done be out or they cooperate with us more because they have frustrated visits. They frustrate our mail a lot. We have to number our letters. We keep track of all our letters because a lot of them go missing and there's nothing in them. You know, it's just like they like to frustrate his communications. So anybody out there who would like to write Gary, I do have his address on the on our webpage under contact. But be patient because sometimes it'll take 2 or 3 weeks for him to get a letter if he gets it. And he always writes everybody back regardless of his eyesight. He tries anyway. It might come back all slanted and sloppy and hard to read, but he tries.
Well, that's one of the tricks they play, isn't it? They stop them from getting their mail. We've got a young lad who's in prison on remand at the moment. He hasn't even been found guilty of anything, and they were stopping him from receiving any mail. He didn't receive any mail. We had to get somebody to go in there and write a legal letter. Citing the fact that they could not withhold his mail from him before they would even let him read it. I mean, the lad was stuck in there without any communication for weeks. I think this is because they know that nationalists have so much support on the outside, and they don't want them to know that. They don't want them to know that there are lots of people that are concerned for them and that care about them. They don't want them to know that. They want them to feel as if they're all on their own in the prison. And they also like to put them in there with the Muslims, especially in Britain. And have they played any tricks like that on him, putting him in with blacks or with Muslims or anything like that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, here, he's been at Florence ADX, I'd say a good 10 years, which that's the longest I think that anybody has been at one Supermax prison. Well, they did let him step down, what they call step down one time, and put him into just the high facility. Well, they put him on range with a blatant homosexual. You know, they're always putting these people with either the blatant homosexuals or Muslims or blacks. And they do that on purpose. They do that to cause strife because they know the two aren't going to mesh that well. And it's going to cause problems. They do that on purpose. They have done it to Gary many times. And, you know, when he wasn't in a supermax, which has been just about all his incarceration. But they do that. And they're not supposed to do that. Prisons are somewhat still segregated, and they do that for safety and, you know, just to keep the peace. And but yet they will take these nationalists or these white people of our beliefs and throw them in with people that they clash with just to start fights.
Then, well, I've known it happen, especially in Britain, that I think Tommy Robinson was put in a prison with a load of Muslims, and he had to start a fight so that because he knew that if he did, he would then get put in solitary confinement for the rest of the time. And then he knew he was going to be safe, because otherwise he would have come out of there dead. I mean, the government were basically trying to kill him by putting him in with Muslims. And you've got the same thing happening here in America, but only with like a slow death, really. They're trying to poison the prisoners and deny them medical care, so that they end up just getting ill. I mean, what is he? Is he under 60? Because he seems like he has all the illnesses you would expect someone in their mid-70s to have.
He just turned 62 this October the 19th. He's still young, but his health is starting to show the wear and tear of all these years of being in the prison system and being neglected. And, you know, and being kept away from society and his family. That, as a matter of fact, Gary And he'll tell you this himself. He has post-traumatic stress disorder from what they put him through. And who wouldn't? You be, you know, put in solitary. And it was when he was in Atlanta. I think it was in 1994. They actually had guards beat him with keys while he was handcuffed and shackled, could not defend himself. They had him, they beat him almost to death. He was in a wheelchair for a while after that. And guess what happened to the guards who did it? Nothing.
I thought you were going to say they got promoted. I mean, that's the sort of thing I would expect from people like that.
Well, that does happen. I've had, even here going to ADX, officers that have messed with him. And there was an officer that even threatened me, told Gary after one of our visits, and I had my grandson with me, as I was leaving that Sunday to head back to Louisiana, that officer told Gary, said, "I know where your wife and your grandson is going. I could follow him if I want to." And guess what? When Gary tells me about this and I tell him about it, they don't do nothing to that officer, but that officer gets promoted.
That's really twisted.
It's like the BOP encourages these officers to, you know, torture these prisoners mentally, you know, and Gary just can't get the phone whenever. He had to wait till like a Wednesday to be able to call me again, and I left on Sunday. So he had to sit there and worry all those days if that officer actually followed me and my grandson when we left.
Well,
you know,
what's the justification for keeping him in a maximum security prison when he hasn't actually been accused of violence to any person? It's just counterfeiting and robberies. What's their justification for maximum security?
It's hard to find one. I've written, he's written, he's filed the Freedom of Information Acts, and they keep it very well covered. The only thing, and this article is on his website because I want anybody to read it who wants to read it. When he was at Terre Haute, also in solitary, he wrote an article trying to bring peace in between the pagans and the Christian people in our folk cause. Now, it did not advocate violence. It didn't advocate any kind of, it didn't even advocate a demonstration. It just went into the history of Christianity and paganism and made a common ground for people to meet on, to put religion aside to where people would quit infighting about it. Nothing in it. And that's what they say is the so-called reason for putting him in a even worse supermax than Terre Haute is an article that had no violence, no nothing in it, just to bring unity in between our folk. And that's it, period.
Is that because he was sort of communicating with other nationalists? I know that I think Bill White did a podcast, and then he got put under maximum security after that to keep him away from ever getting near a microphone again or a telephone, so that he couldn't speak to people. I mean, maybe that's what's at the root of it. They don't want him to be communicating with other nationalists out there.
You know, and that's probably it. But as he says, and I say, if he was any other thing like a Black Panther, Black Lives Matter, Muslim, they would not be stopping him from just keeping in touch with his folk. That's all besides, you know, me that keeps him going is letters from the outside, from people who support him, because that's what gets him through all this time and keeps his mind occupied, you know, because already told him.
I was going to say, if it was anyone else, they would be advocating for him. I mean, you've got members of the Black Panthers that murdered white police that all the civil liberties groups are campaigning for and are saying they should be let out of prison. And yet these people have admitted to murdering white police officers. And Gary hasn't been found guilty of murdering anyone. He hasn't been found guilty of any violent crimes. It's purely robbery and counterfeiting. And as you say, that the proceeds from that went to help white organizations and went to help farmers. I mean, he's a bit like a modern day Robin Hood. And this is the way that he's been treated.
Yeah, and that's it. They would encourage, you know, other, you know, like you said, Muslims or Black Lives Matter, Black Panthers, to have communications with their people on the outside. But if you're a white nationalist or a white person who has the beliefs that we do, they don't want you associating with nobody, which is illegal.
Yeah, it goes against all the human rights. Well, I hope that some of our listeners fill out some of these letters. You say you've got a template of a letter that people can send to try and help them get medical care. And we'll also put your site in the article so that people can check out what you're saying and check out everything else. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to our listeners before we finish, Susan?
Also on the website, there's this article that I've been passing around. Gary is very well at keeping, at documenting everything from day one, from the first day he went down. I'll give the web address in just a second, but there's an article on there that I encourage everybody to read called Judicial Anonymy. I have it stickied to the top. Gary has documented every illegal thing the Bureau of Prisons has done in this article. Now, with us having tried everything we could, you know, he decided to bring these out. And I would encourage everybody to read it because it shows who the true criminal is in our society. And so, but you can go to susan1219.wordpress.com and find these articles and the letter campaign for medical transfer. And it should all be recent. And there's a page for contact for Gary if anybody chooses to write him.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks for that, Susan. And we really hope and pray that you have success with this and that he manages to get the medical treatment that he needs. Thanks for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Matthew Heimbach will hopefully be back tomorrow. So until then, hail victory.
You've been listening to The Daily Traditionalist.